I'm John Betts with my colleagues, Andrew McCarthy of the National Review Online and Thaddeus McCutt of American Greatness. Three other trials pending. In order of what I would say were the headlines, most recently headlines about the court case in Florida about documents being mishandled or in some fashion not following the procedures of top secret documents. The announcement yesterday, and I only saw headlines, was that the judge has decided to postpone the trial indefinitely. But I'm unsure. What does that mean, Andy, in postponing? What is the authority there?
Yeah, I think, John, that the spin that the media is trying to do with this one, because Cannon has been appointed by Trump and has been fair to Trump, even though she's ruled against him on quite a number of important things, but she's giving him a fair proceeding, which they're not crazy about, because as Thaddeus was pointing out before about lawfare, it's got a political objective, so it doesn't stand up very well under legal scrutiny. But it's the spin they're trying to put on this is that she is trying to protect Trump from being tried before Election Day, and as a result has now put the trial off without a date. As a practical matter, the trial has been off without a date for months. Everybody knew that the May 20th date that she set was not realistic because of the complications of the Classified Information Procedures Act. And she set that date at Jack Smith's insistence, but it was illusory anyway. So all she has said is she has a rigorous schedule set up for trying to get through proceedings that have to be gotten through between now and the end of July. And what she's saying is, I'm not going to set a trial date now because it would be illusory. But when we get through all this work, if we can by the end of July, it'll be then more realistic to set a trial date. That's all she's doing. She hasn't said that the case is off forever and ever without a date. What she's saying is this is not a propitious time to set a date.
Thaddeus, you have a question.
Yeah, so once again, Andy, we're seeing the political nature of lawfare in the media at this point, because they're trying to draw the false equivalency between the kangaroo court proceedings we're seeing in New York with what Judge Cannon is doing in the federal proceeding. Is that about accurate?
I think that's exactly right. I mean, Judge Cannon has ruled against Trump on such things as whether to dismiss the indictment. It's hard to think of a more important ruling to make in the pretrial phase of a case than that. She's not a rubber stamp for Trump. The problem is Jack Smith in his design of the federal prosecutions. And then, of course, the federal prosecutors in New York, which is a rigged system for them, they're used to getting their way with these judges. So they've run into a judge down in Florida who isn't rolling over for the defense, but is actually applying the Bill of Rights and giving the guy a fair trial. And they're squawking about it.
The other federal trial involves the January 6th events in some fashion, but it's become a Supreme Court debate now as to the word immunity. I read one quote from Justice Neil Gorsuch after hearing oral arguments presented. "We're writing a rule for the ages." Another comment from Samuel Alito. "Whatever we decide is going to apply to all future presidents." Another from Justice Brett Kavanaugh. "This case has huge implications for the presidency, for the future of the presidency, and for the future of the country, in my view." That's enough to suggest there is something else going on here besides ruling whether Trump can be prosecuted before or after the election. One interpretation of this is that they want more information. Is that what they're leading up to, Andy?
I think where this is headed, John, is that the government lawyers for Jack Smith, the prosecutor, conceded during the oral argument that there is a core of presidential duties that Congress cannot enact laws that would criminalize. And as a result, whether you want to call that immunity or not, it's certainly functional immunity, even if you don't want to append the I word to it. So what I believe is going to happen is the Supreme Court is going to send the case back to Judge Chutkan with instructions and some guidance about how to do this. to sort out, take whatever evidence she needs from the parties to sort to make a factual record, but to sort out what in the indictment as alleged is private behavior that's not amenable of a claim of immunity versus activity by President Trump that is within the core of his executive responsibilities and that might be amenable to an immunity claim. And I believe that having listened to the argument and now rewrite the transcript, I think that's where this is likely to be headed. But I would just note that Trump's lawyers at the oral argument gave so much ground that I think it's possible that Jack Smith, if he were smart and he really wanted to get to trial, when the case gets sent back to Chutkan, he could just say, you know, look, let's just go to trial on what everybody agrees is the private behavior. That would slim down his case, but he could probably get it to trial and he'd be in front of a Washington, D.C. jury and a judge who's hostile to Trump. So I would like his chances.
Thaddeus, you have a question.
More of a comment. See if Andy agrees with it. What you're seeing is adult decision making. The Supreme Court is looking at future presidents. They're looking at the interplay between the Constitution, the Congress, the presidency, the courts. But what you're seeing out of lawfare on the left is they're burning down the bridges. They're salting the earth. They're doing everything they possibly can to stop one individual, which is Donald Trump. In short, it's really a distinction between long-term thinking and short-term thinking, isn't it?
I agree with that. I think it's a race to the bottom between two camps of norm breaking. And I'm thankful that the Supreme Court is looking at this with an eye toward not necessarily what's in front of us at this moment, but how this will relate to the future of the Republic, which is the thing everybody ought to be concerned about. But unfortunately, as Thaddeus points out, few are, it seems.
And the case in Georgia, which is a state case. I lost track after a few weeks, and so there might be more updates on as the world turns. But there's Willis, the prosecutor. There's Wade, who was hired to be the prosecutor. And there's a question of whether the judge in the case decided in a fashion that is trustworthy. He is a previous member of the prosecutor's office. He's now a judge, a very young judge, and attempted to be judicious. But I believe there's a review of whether Willis should stay on the case. If she is removed, let's say worst case scenario, if she is removed, does that mean the case goes away, Andy, or just drifts into history?
Well, it's possible that it could go away, John, because what would happen if she's removed is it would probably be reassigned to a different prosecutor's office, which could take a brand new look at it and decide that her cockamamie RICO theory is not something that they're comfortable with going on. But the short term, especially electoral consequences of all this are the fact that the Court of Appeals in Georgia has said that they'll review the judge's ruling about whether that allowed her to stay on the case but disqualified Nathan Wade. What that means is very similar to what we're seeing in the Washington case that we just talked about. That is, everything's going to be frozen in the trial court until the appellate process wends its way through that system. And as a result, it seems inconceivable that that case could get to trial prior to Election Day.
Andrew McCarthy, National Review Online, following the Bragg prosecution in Manhattan. That is McCarter, American Greatness in the Great State of Michigan. I'm John Bass.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor,